Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Today we are jumping back into our series titled, The Bible, A True Story. We took a few weeks off from our series over the last couple weeks. Palm Sunday and Easter we took off from the series. And if you missed either of those 2 weeks, I would encourage you to go and to listen or to watch those messages online, especially Palm Sunday, as Rita Nelson, one of our very own, shared on just an amazing message on how to respond when your whole world turns upside down. And so I encourage you to go watch it or listen to it if you haven't had a chance to do that yet. But today, we're going to jump back into our series and going to be moving into 2 Corinthians, as we actually wrapped up 1 Corinthians 3 weeks ago when we were last in our series. Now, before we dive into our text this morning, let me just kind of give you some background on 2 Corinthians. If you remember when we were in 1 Corinthians, we talked about the fact that Corinthians is actually a letter written by Paul to the church there in Corinth. Paul had been getting all sorts of bad reports about things that were going on in this church in Corinth that he had planted years prior. And so he wrote that first letter to address some of those issues that were going on in the church there. But apparently many in the church actually rejected Paul's first letter. And so Paul actually followed up 1 Corinthians with a visit to Corinth, one that he later referred to as being a little painful, all right, facing these people that had kind of abandoned him. But we know then also from clues within 2 Corinthians that there were actually other letters after that visit that he had sent to the church before this one. But this is the second one that was recorded, and it's known to us as 2 Corinthians. And it was written then after many of the Corinthians had actually finally realized the error of their ways and had apologized to Paul for turning against him. And so he wrote this letter to them to let them know of his forgiveness, to let them know of his love and his commitment for the church there in Corinth. And so we're going to take a few weeks to look at some of the things that Paul writes here once again to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians. And if you have your Bibles now, we're going to dive into the scripture. You can follow along with me. We're going to read 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 18. This is what it says. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now we see in these scriptures that the Corinthians are obviously going through some difficult times. When he uses those phrases that we are pressed on every side, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, right? He shares those things. They're going through difficult times. And I'm wondering if any of us have felt discouraged, that we have felt so worn out, so tired, that we feel like throwing in the towel, that we feel like giving up. I know that all of us have experienced those times in our lives. Even pastors. Even I have those moments, right? Can you believe it? I mean, I'm not going to mention the fact that half of you give me those moments. But no, I'm sure I'm the one that gives you those moments, right? Did you hear what the pastor said? Even pastors have those moments. Paul had those moments. I'm guessing that dealing with the church in Corinth and the rejection that he experienced from the very church he helped plant probably brought about some of those moments for Paul, right? But here in these scriptures, Paul is encouraging the church in Corinth not to give up. Two different times he says to them, "We do not lose heart." Once at the beginning, he said it, and then again at the end. And so this morning, I want to look at some reasons why I believe Paul told the Corinthians that we don't lose heart. So I want to share four things with you this morning. The first is this. Number one, we don't lose heart because of the gospel, right? Because of the gospel. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." It says, since we have this ministry, right? We don't lose heart. What is the ministry that Paul is talking about? It's the ministry of the good news, right? It's the ministry of the gospel. The fact that we have been saved through Jesus Christ. And then, after we're saved, we're commissioned to go and to share that good news with others. That's the ministry. God has chosen us to partner with Him, to come alongside Him in His plan to bring redemption to all the world. Now, Paul was an apostle of Christ. And when we say yes to Jesus, we are actually called to become apostles like Paul. I had a conversation here after church recently with someone about the difference between disciples and apostles. And I believe all of us really are technically called to be both. Now, a disciple is a follower, right? When we say yes to Jesus, we become disciples of Christ. We seek Him, right, with all that we are. And part of being a disciple, it's growing in our relationship with the Lord, learning more about who He is and who He desires us to be. That's our desire when we gather here on Sundays, is our desire is to be discipled, right? To learn more about who He is and who He desires us to be. That's a disciple. And then an apostle is one who then goes out and shares the good news, shares the gospel that they have learned of, hoping to see others come to know Jesus and to follow Him. And the truth is, we are called to be both. To follow Jesus, to grow in Him, to be that disciple. And then to go and tell others what we've learned and how Jesus affects their lives as well. That's the apostle aspect. We are called to partner with God in seeing His kingdom extended throughout our community and ultimately throughout the world. This is our amazing ministry. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And therefore, since we have this ministry, since we have the gospel, the good news of Jesus, we do not lose heart. We have something to grab onto. Now, the truth is, life is hard, right? Life is difficult. And sometimes we can get discouraged. You know, our news feeds and social media platforms display one bad thing after another. We face heartache and difficulties on a regular basis. And at times, life seems anything but hopeful, right? Am I the only one that experiences that? You know, the political landscape of the past several years has left many Americans disillusioned. Racial tension is extremely high in our nation. We hear stories that COVID cases are rising again in parts of the world. You know, whether to get the vaccine or not get the vaccine is still a huge debate that rages on. And so it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy for us to begin to lose heart in these times. But we have to remember that by the grace of God, we are called to partner with Him in the most important work on our planet. We are helping people discover who Jesus is and the life that He brings to those who believe. God is using us to spread the good news of Jesus wherever we go. To let our light shine for Him. Our broken world, you know what they need right now? They need Jesus. Our broken friends and family, they need Jesus. And so we don't lose heart because we have the gospel, which is the good news that keeps us moving forward. Amen? The second thing I want to share this morning is this. We don't lose heart because we have Jesus, right? We have the gospel, the good news of Him, but we have Jesus Himself. In verse 7, Paul tells us, we have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, if you didn't figure this out, we are the jars and Jesus is the treasure. Sometimes we get that mixed up, right? We think we are the treasure to Him, right? He is the treasure. We are the jars. The clay jar refers not just to our physical body, but to our humanity. And a question I think we need to ask is this. Who of us is actually worthy to be a container for God's light and glory? Because the smartest person isn't smart enough. The purest person isn't pure enough. The most spiritual person isn't spiritual enough. And the most talented person isn't talented enough. So who is worthy? The fact is, no one. None of us are worthy. We are all just worthless pots without the treasure, right? Because what makes a treasure chest valuable? It's not the wooden chest. It's what's inside the chest that makes it valuable. And I believe Paul was being very intentional here when he uses the analogy jars of clay. These clay jars were common in every home in the ancient world. They weren't known for being very durable. And they were rendered useless if broken. And so in essence, they were extremely cheap and had very little to actually no value. But God has chosen to entrust His treasure to frail, broken human beings. To us, right? He has chosen to implant the treasure of His Spirit, His presence in us, a bunch of clay pots. And so we may look very ordinary and weak on the outside because we are, but inside of us is a priceless treasure when we say yes to Jesus. We are plain, ordinary people filled with an extraordinary, out-of-this-world God. And the reason for this is so that people will see that anything and everything we do isn't us. It's not our talent, it's not our abilities, but rather Christ in us. Because it's Christ in us that makes us the hope of glory to the world. This is why Paul said in verse 5 that we don't preach ourselves. Right? If we're preaching ourselves, we're in trouble. We preach Jesus as Lord. I cannot save anybody. None of you can save anybody. None of us are capable of changing people. None of us have the power to heal. We are just clay pots. And I know I'm a cracked one at that. I'm a crack pot, okay? I can't do anything on my own. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God loves to use ordinary people like you and me to do extraordinary things. And so we may feel fragile. We may feel weak. We may feel like we don't have what it takes, which is actually true. Sorry to disappoint you this morning. We don't have what it takes, but don't lose heart because we have Jesus, and in Him all things are possible. Amen. And then my third point this morning is this. We don't lose heart because of our faith. In verse 13, Paul says, it is written, I believe, right? That's his faith. I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, throughout the scriptures, Paul describes some of the hardships that he experienced because of his ministry. Hardships that would have caused many others to lose heart, to give up, and to quit. But Paul kept going. Why? Well, I believe it was because of his faith. He proclaimed the gospel fearlessly wherever he went because of his faith in Jesus Christ. He believed that God had raised Jesus from the dead. And he believed that God would raise him also. And so what's the worst someone could do to Paul, right? Kill him? Well, for someone who believed to live is Christ and to die is actually gain, that didn't seem like that big of a deal to Paul. You could almost picture Paul standing there in the face of death saying, go ahead, make my day, right? It's the kind of faith I want. Let me share with you a story I came across as I was preparing this message. Abera Wata worked with Christian youth in the southern part of Ethiopia during the time of communist rule. He once told this following story to a missionary named John Cumbers. He said, word came from the commandant that the party leaders had studied my report about the work among Christian young people in the area. The authorities had decided that I had to be executed because of my treasonous words. The only way you can overturn this sentence, said the commandant, is for you to deny that you are one of the believers. I told the commandant, if you execute me, I'll be with my Lord. The commandant replied, that's what I expected you would say. As I awaited execution in prison, my Savior gave me songs to sing that I had never heard before. He turned me into a composer. My fellow prisoners and I reveled in the joys of praise to our God. The guards kept trying to silence us, but with the threat of execution hanging over us, why should we keep quiet? Seven men had come to Christ in that prison, and we all sang loudly together. The Lord did some remarkable stuff through these believers in that prison. But what I want you to catch was their complete fearlessness in the face of death. Why? Why were they so fearless? Because like Paul said in verse 13, we believe and therefore we speak. They believed that God had given them an amazing ministry. That they had a treasure in clay pots, and so their faith gave them strength to not lose heart. I hope that I can have that faith. I hope all of us can be people with that kind of faith, where we're completely fearless as we faithfully follow Jesus and serve Him. And notice one other thing in verse 15 where Paul says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. What kept Paul going despite hardships and suffering was that he not only trusted God, it wasn't just his faith, but he knew that what he was doing was benefiting other people. More and more people were coming to know Jesus and putting their faith in God. He didn't lose heart because of his faith, a faith that believed God was working in him and through him. And when we have faith like that, it encourages us to not lose heart. You know, the reality is we never know how our faith is going to affect others. This week I got a call from one of my old youth kids. And I say old because he was a senior in my high school group when I left Eugene 19 years ago. A kid that is now 36 years old. And he's leading worship at a church in Idaho. But when I answered the phone, I said, Dylan, what's up, man? Oh my goodness, it is so good to hear your voice. And he just said, hey Darren, I just called to say thank you. He said, you and Stacy were amazing in how you loved us and helped us grow in our relationship with the Lord. We were young in Eugene. We sucked. When I look back, I think, man, my years in Eugene, I hope I didn't mess kids up, right? And he said, now that I'm in ministry, I want to be for others what you were for me, because you were my hero. And I got to tell you, I told him, I said, man, if I was your hero, you might want to start raising that bar a little bit higher, okay? But that phone call was such an encouraging call. And it reminded me that we really never know how our faith is going to affect others. The faith of a mustard seed moves mountains. The faith of a mustard seed helps us not lose heart. Amen? And then my fourth and final point this morning is this. Number four, we don't lose heart because we have eternal life. In verse 16 it says, outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. On my next birthday, which is still 12 months away. Nine months away. Yeah, see, I'm about to turn the big 5-0. See, I'm already losing it here. I can't even do math anymore. The big 5-0, right? And honestly, you know, I have never had a problem with getting old. It's just a number, right? I'm not one of those like, oh my gosh, when I turn 40, it's like, big deal, I'm 40, right? As a matter of fact, I'm one that has always said, man, I can't wait till I'm 70 and I can retire. I'm just ready to be old. And you know, that's I'm seriously, people think I'm joking, but I'm just like, hey, I'm ready for 70 in retirement. I wish I could retire earlier, but on a pastor's salary, that's really hard. So I hope by 70, it might be 80 or 90 before I can retire. But honestly, it's hard for me to believe that I am almost 50. And that's probably because I act more like a kid at times than my own kids do. You know, I mean, honestly, most of the time my wife is raising three kids. But even though I don't feel like I'm almost 50 mentally or emotionally, my body feels like it's 50 or older at times. I was talking about that this morning with some of the worship team. I just had my second back surgery. My hips are hurting lately, right? I've got a left shoulder that gives me problems. The list goes on. And it's a reminder that outwardly we are wasting away, right? But the good news is that inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Jesus is making us new inside. He's transforming us from the inside out. And if we keep seeking Him each day, if we keep coming before Him, we're going to get a little bit better and a little bit brighter as we begin to look more and more like Jesus from the inside out. And in verse 17, Paul says, For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And notice how he describes our troubles there, right? Light and momentary, right? It doesn't seem like that at times, does it? To us, at times they seem heavy and never ending, right? But according to Paul, they are light and momentary, meaning this: they too shall pass, right? They too shall pass. Because like Paul says in verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. We fix our eyes on those unseen things, not those things that are right in front of us, but those things that are out there. The unseen is eternal. And that's what we focus on. We seek to live our lives with an eternal perspective. Not a perspective that's in the moment. And perspective is huge. Perspective can make all the difference in the world. Think about this. What's more relaxing? Digging holes in hard dirt or fishing, right? Well, I guess that depends on whether you're looking at it from the perspective of an earthworm or a human, right? Because, you know, for a worm, you know, digging holes sounds much more relaxing, right? As opposed to sitting on a hook about ready to be chomped. But as a person, man, I don't like digging holes. I think that's what hurt my back, man. I can't dig anymore. So any digging that happens, I need to call somebody, all right? But digging holes is not fun. But fishing, that sounds relaxing, right? It's a matter of perspective. Perspective changes how we look at things. If we're only focused on what's seen, those things that are temporary, if we're only focused on what's seen, those things that are temporary, then it's easy for us to lose heart. It's easy for us to want to give up. If we're focusing on the news, our current circumstances that surround us, it's real easy for us to lose heart. But if we fix our eyes on the unseen, that which is eternal, we see that those things that we see are really light and temporary. It all has to do with perspective. Let me share with you one more illustration on perspective. It was a balmy October afternoon in 1982, at Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, and it was packed. More than 60,000 diehard University of Wisconsin supporters were watching their football team take on the Michigan State Spartans. It soon became obvious that Michigan State had the way better team. What seemed odd, though, as the score became more and more lopsided, were the bursts of applause and shouts of joy from the Wisconsin fans. How could they be cheering when their team was getting slaughtered? It turns out that 70 miles away, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the 1982 World Series. Many of the fans in the stands were listening on their portable radios and responding to something other than their immediate circumstances, right? They wondered why that guy's yelling home run at a football game. You see, it's easy to look at what's right in front of us. It's easy to look and see our team getting slaughtered. And when we see that, we get discouraged, right? Especially if it's my Ducks. Because I want to see them win. I joke, but it's easy to get discouraged when we see it right in front of us. But up ahead, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. A place like nothing we could ever imagine. This is what Paul was talking about. Not focusing on the temporary troubles that are right in front of us, but focusing on those things that are unseen. The eternal life that God has for those who believe in Him. Amen. It's kind of interesting, but over the last several months, there have been many messages by many people besides me addressing the challenges and difficulties that all of us have faced over this past year. And I'm guessing that there have been many times where many of us have wanted to give up, wanted to just throw in the towel. We just want to be done, right, with 2020. And then we thought when 2020 was done, it'll all be over, right? And then 2021 hits and things are still kind of the same. We wanted to give up, but we need to remember this. As we look at these scriptures, we're reminded by Paul that we have the good news. We have Jesus Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have our faith, and we have eternity with Him. And so I encourage you this morning, just like Paul said to the Corinthians, do not lose heart. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is truth. Your Word is life. And we thank You for the opportunity to be able to gather and to open Your Word, or to be able to listen online and to hear Your Word. And Lord, we want to be people who grab hold of the truth that is Your Word. That, Lord, in the midst of this world that we face, in the midst of those struggles and challenges, that, Lord, to us do seem heavy and do seem never-ending. We're thankful that we have someone like Paul that reminds us to not focus on that which is seen, but to focus on that which is unseen. To know that, Lord, You are with us, that the good news of the gospel gives life, that it encourages us, that it helps us keep pressing on, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank You for these things that You are speaking to us this morning. We thank You for these things that You've been speaking to us over the last several months. Because, Lord, I know as we continue to go through things and continue to face things, it may seem like it's never going to end, but I thank You for the reminder that this too shall pass. That, Lord, You are bigger than anything that the world can bring against us. And so we just want to be people who put our trust in You, that allow You to be our shelter, that allow You to be our strength through the storms of life. And so we give You this word this morning. We just pray that You allow it to speak to each of us where we're at. What do You want to speak to me this morning? What do you want to speak to each of us as individuals this morning, Lord? May we receive what you have for us. May we be encouraged by it. And may we not lose heart. We thank you for these things. We give them to you. We pray them in your precious name. Amen.